Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com. As you all know, I don't typically do a ton of junior heading into senior season interviews, but I'll tell you what, you could consider this one of the most anticipated offensive linemen in this upcoming 2016 NFL draft. A sleeper, if you will, but don't catch him laying on the ground. His gameplay speaks for itself. His ability to create gaps, or should be more like craters, for his running backs to run through are more common than not. The defensive linemen, they can't quite figure out what to do other than to double team him, and will that stop him? I don't know. I'll let you make that determination. Welcome, Jonte Squeezing Defensive Lineman Barry, to the show.
Hello, Mr. Reyes. Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for coming on to the Rude Dog Show. How are things out there in Texas?
Oh, they're great. It's wonderful. That's where I'm originally from. I'm from Houston, Texas. I play ball at A. Lee Taylor High School, where Martellus and Michael Bennett, Seahawks and Chicago Bears players, they both went to my school.
Yeah, I've seen that. And you know what? We're going to start at the beginning of it all, just like they did. Born July 11th, 1992, a small town named Missouri City, Texas. And you said A. Lee Taylor High School, is that correct?
Yes, sir. A. Lee Taylor High School.
A. Lee Taylor High School. That sounds like a small town as well. Oh, and happy birthday, by the way, tomorrow.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir. It's been a blessing, you know, to see 23. A lot of people from where I'm from don't get to make it that far, so it's honor. It's an honor and a blessing.
Absolutely right. It's all about mindset, the hunger, the passion, the desire, and allowing your actions on the field to speak for themselves. How do you believe that being in a small town, having a personal upside, or I should say upsize, that you have, and flexibility along with speed has helped you earn the play style that you currently have right now?
Well, how I see it is, you know, it comes from growth. It comes from experience because when I first started off, I started off as a dominant player out of high school. I was getting recruited heavily from Texas A&M, Oklahoma State, just a few to be exact. And, you know, it was a humbling position because I started off at the top and I ended up at the bottom because of my grades. I went to junior college. I went to Kilgore Junior College with coach J.J. Eckert, and he taught me a lot about the game and just the passion, just how to click it on in every minute and just love what you're doing.
Well, you have to love what you do. You can have all the size, you can have all the speed, you can have every single aspect of your game to be top-notch, but if you're not ready to academically stick your nose in the books and play at a high level in your academic career, there's no way you're going to get a professional career moving forward as you go into your senior year.
Yes, sir, most definitely.
It does not work out that way. Look, playing at the level that you're at right now, there has to be some type of motivation that drives you, takes you from a very small point in your life, academically and professionally, where it's helped you to become who you are now. And in your freshman year, what motivated you?
Well, around that time, 2011, my head coach from high school, he was shot and killed through a domestic violence. He was helping his friend out, and she ended up getting killed. And her husband killed her. It was a three-way. It was a double homicide. He killed her and him, as well as himself. And, you know, I had to channel a lot of frustration, anger, and for him taking a life of my coach, and, you know, just being the fact that he was a great man. He taught me everything about football as well as a father figure in football for me. And he just taught me, how to be aggressive. He taught me how to bring that nastiness on the field. When you look at Martellus Bennett, when he blocks, it's a certain type of nastiness that he brings. And I bring that same type of nastiness. And that came from my coach, Wyatt.
You know, looking at a different angle when you're playing, and any time that you're on the field against any defensive lineman, and I've watched it myself, I've seen you take the matter in your own hands, literally, and you practically play against undersized defenders. I mean, what are you thinking to yourself when you're able to get that guy on the ground and then maybe even move on to the next guy who happens to be in your RB's way?
I feel that every competitor comes out there to play, and they come out there to bring their best, and I want them, my goal is by the end of the game, I want them to be able to say that 79 did his job, and that the coaches on the other staff said, 79, you're a wonderful and great player. But the best feeling of all, out of all that, is when I see my running back score in the end zone. Like, I remember last season, we had a running back, his name was Avery Morris, and he didn't score until one of our very last games against SNU, where Larry Butler, the third, played for. And I told him, I said, this game you're going to score, I'm going to make sure you score. If you don't score, I'm going to put it on my back to make sure you, to push you in the end zone and score. And that game, he had 3 touchdowns. It was a wonderful experience for him. And it was senior night, so it was really a great way to leave our seniors out like that.
Absolutely right. These guys fight on the inside. They're inside the trenches. These running backs, I probably wouldn't wish it on my best enemy to have a running back position, because they're getting hit. They're getting smacked around. You seem to make it look relatively easy. And to be honest with you, I didn't see a solid double team. I mean, I would say maybe a couple of guys on you, but you were just able to bounce from one guy to the other. How do you attribute that speed and your accuracy to getting these guys down on the ground, practically rolling over them?
It's all about, it's the most critical thing, me knowing as an offensive lineman, is my hand placement, because the first thing is you don't want to get caught holding, and I like to keep my hand inside the chest where I could drive them like a car, you know. And I'm not sure it's all funny or anything, but that's how I see it, as driving a car. And, you know, just staying a little bit of low base. Because being that I have such a wide frame, and, you know, staying low on a defender, even though he might have a little bit of an advantage because he's undersized, if I stay low and I keep driving my feet, I know 9 times out of 10 that he's going to be on the ground.
And I've seen that about 99% of the time when I'm watching your film. It's almost ridiculous to think that no one in your respective division, no coach had thought of, you know what, we need to double team that guy. He's not only getting in on us, but he's opening these gaps, you know, as if he was scooping sand with one finger. You know, it's...
I appreciate that.
It's ridiculous. I've seen your hand placement. You got a solid jump also. I've seen you make some pretty nasty pushes. Just something that you don't see coming out of a Division II school. I mean, you moved up from NAIA 3 to 4 years ago. You wanted to do what you had to do. Where do you see yourself going in the off season from a physicality standpoint? What are you working on right now to help get you to that next level?
Most important, critical thing is me being off of the tackle is my footwork. And I feel like my footwork in my passing game as the time grows and as I get older, as I'm getting ready to be 23, the evolution of my game has evolved. And those things like footwork and hand placement, especially on pass pro, I feel like are one of the most critical things, especially when you're going in on a 2-minute drive and you know you have to be almost perfect in order for your team to win when the game is on the line. And those situations I look forward to, and it entices me and excites me. And so I put all my effort into working on my footwork as well as my hand placement, because those things are two things that are very critical when it comes to going against bigger and faster DNs or just quicker DNs.
Right. You know, looking at you run, looking at your physicality, you remind me of a Daniel McCullers, which for Daniel McCullers coming out of Tennessee last year, true nose tackle, and the guy is 6'5", 365. You're like the opposite, to where you're able to handle multiple guys. Now, you said it yourself, you're going to run into literally larger 365-pound D linemen that have better speed, that are going to have better physicality. As you move forward in your senior year, what are you going to work on that's going to just push you over the top moving forward?
Well, I see just working with my teammates or our composure. Our composure and our activity. How what happens when we get hit in the mouth? Are we gonna back down and let a 21-point deficit affect us, or are we gonna come back from it? And last year what I saw with the team that we had the pieces, we had the engine going, and at times it just wasn't there all the time, but our will was never to give up. And that will that was instilled from us, that 2014 team, is transferred over to this team right now. And it's a very scary feeling for people to be in the GAC this season. That's all I have to say.
Well, again, actions speak louder than words, and so far from what I understand, you have definitely not only proven what you can do on the field, but you've been doing some great things off the field. Tell me about your off-field expeditions in your town.
Oh, most definitely. Well, this last past season, I had to sit out for eligibility purposes. In D2, you have a total of 10 semesters, and I was at 9, and so I went to California to visit one of my teammates. His name is Anthony Morrow, and he invited me out there. I stayed with his family for 5 months, and while I was out there, I was speaking to the kids in high schools doing fellowship with Christian athletes. If you type in my name, Jonte Berry, JONTEBERRY, you can see some of my speeches when I was talking to the kids. It's just a great thing. I just feel like as a player and as I get older, I just want to reach out to the community, because at the same time, I just know if I talk to one kid, that it'll make a difference in their life and probably change them on a whole total different path than what they're going right now.
Absolutely right, especially in your area where you had to fight. You had to gain ground. You had to know where you're going. You know, you had those people that were around you that you chose, handpicked to do what you wanted to do, and they were there to assist you get to where you wanted to go. Who can you attribute, if you can surmise one person, who do you contribute all of your passion, hard work, and desire to play at the level that you are and getting better with that being said?
I would like to say, first and foremost, it comes from God. Because if it weren't for God, all these opportunities, all these blessings that's upon me, like being on your radio show, just being able to play college football, because a lot of times we take that for granted, especially as ones that get scholarships or been the pick of the litter, as they say. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget to be humble because we have everything handed out to us. Mm-hmm. And that being said, there's been times where I know it's just been my faith in God that relied on me to get to the places where I needed to go.
We can always attribute something to someone or something higher and more powerful than ourselves. And there's definitely no doubt about your statement that you definitely hand it in a blessing, to say the least. Looking at the upcoming schedule for you, you guys have it pretty tough. Who do you think your biggest contender is going to be?
I think our biggest contender is every team. Because every team put us down on a pedestal, because being that we were saying that we were NAIA or that we wasn't just quite there yet. And it's time to really take consideration of Northwestern as a serious threat. This upcoming season, we just got a brand new turf, and $3 million turf, as well as a brand new press box. And we're bringing back the black, as they will call it. We're going back to the black helmets that were worn in the 1999 NAIA national championship, which had Patrick Creighton on that team.
Right.
And we're bringing back tradition and style back to Northwestern. And so I feel like every game is going to be competitive, and every game is going to be a challenge in this GAC this year, because there's nobody that has the throne right now. It's everything is up for grabs. Henderson had it the last couple of years, but Kevin Rogers was there, who was really a great quarterback. But now, since he's gone, everything is up for grabs. There's no questions asked.
Well, you're definitely starting all over again, but for you, this is your senior season. How would you like to see yourself go out moving into a 2016 NFL locker room?
Oh, I would love it. That would be an honor. That would be a blessing. You know, just to put my team on the back as one of those players that came out of there that made the dream accomplished for other players to dream. Because, like I said, in order to call yourself great, you have to leave a legacy. And that's what I plan on doing my senior season this year, leaving my legacy, leaving my impact.
Absolutely. We can always leave a legacy behind, but we have to understand where we've been. Because if we don't recognize that, if we don't have a solution for where we've been, we're not going to have a clue where we're heading. It's just going to be walking into a brick wall with your eyes open. You know, it's just not going to work out that way. You know?
Yes, sir.
Lastly, Division II players haven't usually gotten the nod in the NFL for draftees. However, within the last 3 years, there has been more Division II draftees. Pierre Desir headed to Cleveland. Jeff Janis plays for Green Bay. You know, a lot of players have received the nod. How do you believe that you're going to be perceived when you head into the draft, and where would you like to play?
I would like to be perceived as every other draftee, you know. I want just because I came from a small school to affect my draft status, because I have played against great players. I went to Kilgore Junior College. I played against Cordell Patterson when he was at Hutchinson College. I played against great players like Calvin Barnett at Navarro College. So I didn't play against top-tier defensive linemen, linebackers, and as well as cornerbacks. It's just everybody have different paths and everybody have different journeys, and my journey was a little bit longer than others. So being that said, I feel that when it does come time for me to showcase my skill, whether it's in a senior bowl, the senior bowl invite, or in the draft combine, I'm going to be one of the top people that they refer to, just because of my hard work and my dedication.
Well, I can tell you, if there are any scouts out there right now who are looking for an offensive lineman to be contended with to protect your quarterbacks from falling on the ground to prevent any type of disasters in that backfield, you definitely want Jonte Berry to nod your hat off to and say, good job. Because he knows he can do it. You'll just have to watch and see how well he does it. So thank you so much, Jonte. I really appreciate your time. I thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate you, Mr. Reyes.
Oh, absolutely. No, my pleasure. You know, it's always nice to interview somebody who has the passion, the drive, the emphasis, the understanding, and the awareness to know what it's going to take to get them to the next level, not only on the field, but off the field as well, because any one of those children's lives, you may have already touched in a positive way. So we'll keep an eye out for that.
One of my former teammates, when I was going through junior college, going through my struggles, I talked to him, and I motivated him. Now he's a starting cornerback for Kansas. His name is Greg Allen, number 22. Watch out for him this season.
Very good. Some may, and hopefully everybody does. Jonte, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Again, if there's anything I can do for you in the meanwhile, anything at all, feel free to reach out. Tell your family and friends to send this interview out as much as humanly possible, and hopefully get you on the map.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, Mr. Reyes.
Absolutely. Thank you again. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Rudy, Rude Dog Reyes, on the RudeDogShow.com.